Well, guys, it's an honor to be with you this morning. Wow, look at this room. It's packed out. This is exciting, guys. Well, we're so excited for you. Starting Point, man, I tell you what, I'm just so thankful to be part of a church that is just intentional about you growing and knowing God and beginning to grow and move in a relationship with God. And yeah, you may even be in here this morning. Maybe you've not even made that decision yet. And we're going to talk about that a little bit this morning. But it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter if this is your first week or you've been coming for a short time, a long time, and you just decided to go ahead and jump into Starting Point. We're glad that you're here. You're not here by chance. You're here for a reason. And again, we're just blessed and honored to have you guys here. I love this team. Give a hand to the Starting Point team, man. They are awesome. You know, pretty good breakfast just off the top. I mean, that's, man, I don't know if you can get a breakfast like this anywhere else. But this team loves you guys. They're going to be just in your life for the next few weeks. For those of you that are finishing up, they're still in your life. They're praying for you. They're encouraging you. They're there to answer any questions that they can. And Miss Bonnie and her team, they're just incredible and so thankful for them. And today, guys, we're going to kick off Starting Point with step one. I'm so thankful to be a part of a church that has a strategy. And not just a strategy that we thought up on our own, or that Pastor Jeremy just thought up on his own. He had some creativity that he put to it, but at the end of the day, it's biblical. It's found in God's Word, because we believe in the Word of God, and that is so important to us as Timber Creek Church, and we feel that God has given us this strategy that we find throughout God's Word, but more specifically in Exodus chapter 6. We're going to read that here in just a minute, but there's this idea that we want every person that comes through Timber Creek Church to, number one, know God, to, number two, find freedom, number three, discover your purpose, because guess what? God's got purpose. He's got plans for you, and you're like sitting here, who, me? Yeah, you. You've got plans. God's got plans for you, and you've got gifts and talents that God wants to use for His glory, for His name, right? And then number four is make a difference, right? God wants to use your story, use your life, no matter what that story is, He wants to use it to make a difference in this world. And so I am thankful for that strategy, and we're going to talk through that over the next four weeks as you're with us. But today we're going to start with step one, and that's knowing God, okay? To know God. Starting Point takes you through this journey, through the strategy, as I talked about, that we believe the Lord has for all of us. In Exodus chapter 6, which I'm going to read, we find Moses and the Israelites, right? And basically, we find here these four core promises. It's even been called in Jewish tradition, historic Jewish tradition, the four cups, but they represent four promises. And there are promises that God has for us. Amen? And here's four that we find there that are tied right into this strategy that we feel that the Lord has given us for Timber Creek Church, for you, for all of us, myself included, right? I'm on the same journey you're at. Whether you started the journey recently, or I started it when I was 13, and I'm 40 now, man, I'm old, but I'm still on that journey, and I'm still growing and learning. You never stop growing. There's never a moment that God doesn't teach you something new in His Word. And so, but today, we're going to talk about knowing God, right? These four cups represent four promises of God, and God has given us promises throughout Scripture. What's a promise, right? A promise, if you look at the definition or a definition of it, it's an offer with a guaranteed result. Anybody want a guaranteed result? I like that, right? If somebody's going to promise something to me, I want it to come with a guaranteed result. Well, I tell you what, God in His Word and through what He's done for us, through His Son Jesus Christ, He's made many, many promises to us with a guaranteed result, and I am super thankful for that. God's promises are this, that, you know, we want to know His promises, right? We want to know them. We want to understand them. And then we want to pursue them. We want to pursue those promises of God. Well, let me read. I think it's in your notes there at the top. On week one, you can turn in your booklet if you haven't yet to week one, knowing God. And at the top is this scripture I was just talking about that we find in Exodus chapter 6. And this is God speaking to Moses, and He's encouraging him to speak to the Israelites. He's getting ready to lead them out of slavery, out of bondage. And this is what he says in verse 6 and 7. Therefore, say to the people of Israel, this is the Lord speaking to Moses, I am the Lord. I will free you from your oppression. That sounds good, doesn't it? And that's where we're at today, right? I will free you from your oppression and will rescue you from your slavery in Egypt. I will redeem you with a powerful arm and great acts of judgment. I will claim you as my own people and I will be your God. Let's pray real quick, okay? God, we love you, and I just look around this room. It's a full room of individuals. Some I recognize, many of them I don't know. But God, they're here for a reason. They're not here by chance. God, you brought all of us here today into Starting Point, and I'm so excited about the journey that they're walking. God, I'm excited about what you've already done in their life and what you're going to do. And God, I pray that you would be right here with us this morning as we talk about what it means to know you, to know God. God, we thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, guys, that first promise in this passage of those four promises is the promise of salvation. I will free you. I will bring you out, he says. In other words, there's this promise that we can have a Savior, that we can have salvation through God, through his Son, Jesus Christ. So number one, let me say this in your notes. There's no greater need that we have than to know God. There's no greater need that we have than to know God. We all have needs, right? Amen? We've all got needs. We need food and water to live, right? We need a job to make money and make a living and provide for our family, provide for our kids, if you've got kids, right? But you look at all those different needs. What is truly, really the greatest need that we have? Is there a need greater than actually food and water? I believe there is. It's God. It's to know God. That is our greatest need in life. See, there's a spiritual emptiness in our lives before we come to know God, right? We each have a hole in our heart, this spiritual vacuum I've heard it called before through the years, deep within our soul, and it's like a God-shaped blank, right? Some people don't even realize that. They don't even know that. They walk through life not realizing that that hole is there and that something's missing. And here's the deal. Possessions won't fill that hole. Success won't fill that hole. It might fill your bank account. It might get you a nice house. It might get you this or that. But at the end of the day, it won't fill that specific emptiness and hole in our life. Relationships alone cannot satisfy this emptiness. How many of you are married? Right? Okay. You love your spouse very, very much. But at the end of the day, he or she can only meet so many of your needs, and there's needs that cannot be met outside of a relationship with God. Only he can meet those deep, deep needs, right? And so, something to think about there. In fact, even religion, right? Religion itself cannot fill that void in your heart. It's about a relationship with God, right? Only knowing God can do it. There is no greater need than to know God. That's number one. Number two, there's a big difference between knowing about someone and truly knowing them. Anybody agree with that? Somebody name a popular athlete from today's big game. I heard there's a big game going on today. Super Bowl or something like that. Somebody throw out a player. I think I know who you're going to say. Tom Brady, right? I think I heard it out there. Any fans of Tom Brady? Jeff, will you stand up for me? Will you stand up for me? Greatest quarterback to ever play the game, Peyton Manning. I just wanted to say that. Okay, you can sit down. Thanks, man. Thanks for wearing that jersey. He was my favorite, still is. I love Tom Brady. He's amazing. But here's the deal. Okay, so, you know, there's something about, I can say that I know about Tom Brady, right? I know he lived in California. I know he played for the University of Michigan. I know this is his 9th Super Bowl. It's ridiculous. I know that he's just intense. He's going to say he's going to play till he's 45. I'm hoping he retires after today. So just go ahead and win one more and be call it good, bro. But I know about Tom Brady, right? A lot of us, if you're a sports fan, you know about him, right? But I don't know him. I've never met him before. I've never spent quality time with Tom Brady and sat down with him and got to know him personally and know what, you know, what makes him tick or whatever, right? There's a difference between knowing about someone and truly knowing someone. You know, my wife Ellie and I, when we first met, I thought I knew everything about her on our wedding day. I thought there's nothing else there to know about this girl. I learned a lot more, and poor thing, she learned a lot more about me. And she's 16 years, she's still with me. But so we can know about someone, but to truly know them, and that's what God desires, is for us not to just have head knowledge and just read the Bible and know about him. He wants us to know him intimately. That's so important. The definition to know, right? To perceive directly, to have understanding of, to recognize the nature of, to discern, to be acquainted or familiar with, to have experience of. I can't say that of Tom Brady, all those things, right? I know about him, but I don't know him intimately like that. But I want to know God that way. I don't want to know just about him. I want to know him intimately. Thousands of years ago, Pharaoh, the Egyptian ruler, set in some of the same chapters that we just read in Exodus, right? He posed this question that people are still asking today, and that is, who is the Lord that I should listen to him, right? That's a good question, but it's not an easy subject to tackle. It is difficult for our limited minds to grasp the limitless eternal God. Is he big? Yeah, he's limitless. It's just our minds cannot wrap around all the things about God and who he is, right? It's been said that if God were small enough for our minds, then he wouldn't be big enough for our needs, right? I love that quote, and it's so true. For that reason, don't be frustrated if you can't fully understand who God is or why he does the certain things that he does, right? There's still things. I've been in ministry 20 years, and there's still things I don't understand. There's still times when I'm like, God, really? Like, I don't understand that. And I got a list of questions I'm ready to ask him when I get to heaven, right? But that doesn't make me run away from him. Am I get frustrated sometimes? Yeah, Jen, I'll be honest. But that doesn't make me run away from him. It makes me draw closer to him, understand that he is so massive, so limitless, right? For that reason, don't be frustrated if you can't fully understand who God is or why he does certain things. One day, Scripture promises, all right, this is another great promise, as we were talking about promises earlier, that everything about God and his character will be made perfectly clear to us. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, it tells us that. But until then, we will find everything we need to know about him right here, guys, in God's Word. Right here. That's why reading the Word of God is so valuable, so important. And it doesn't matter after 40 years of how much I've read a verse. I read it for the 20,000th time, and I see something I never saw before because the Lord wanted to show me something that I needed to see. Amen? So important. Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. And this, so that I may know him experientially, becoming more thoroughly acquainted with him, understanding the remarkable wonders of his person more completely, and in the same way experience the power of his resurrection, which overflows and is active in believers, and that I may share the fellowship of his sufferings by being continually conformed inwardly into his likeness, even to his death, dying as he did. That's from the Amplified Bible, right? Let's move on to number three. Number three, God created us to know him and have a relationship with him. God created us to know him, guys, to have a relationship with him. Understand, he created us with an innate desire and ability to connect with him, right? There's an innate ability to connect with him. Again, it's not just head knowledge. It's not just I went to church as a kid and sat through some Sunday school classes and I got it now. No, he wants us to connect intimately with him, right? You know, and a lot of times we may ask ourselves, wait, you might be sitting here thinking, what, God wants to connect with little old me? Yeah, he does, right? I'm so small and so insignificant. That's true. We are compared to this amazing God that we have. Well, yes, we are very small compared to how big he is, but I promise you that you are not insignificant to him. Maybe that's the most important thing some of you need to hear this morning. He knows who you are. He knows where you're at right now and the circumstances that you're in, and you're not insignificant to him. He loves you. You are his daughter. You are his son, and we're so glad that you're here this morning, okay? The truth is, feeling small may not be so bad if in recognizing our smallness, We begin to realize and the wonder of God. A God who is beyond our ability to fully describe or imagine. At the end of the day, guys, he's bigger than that. He's bigger than the words I can use standing up here today to try to describe him to you. I can do everything I can through experience and what he's done in my life. But at the end of the day, he's even bigger than that. He's even more descriptive than that. God is beyond our ability to do that. Yet someone, at the same time, we are privileged to know, to love, and embrace, right? He's not so big and not so limitless. Yes, he is, but he's not so big that we can't have a loving, intimate relationship with our Heavenly Father, with God, right? So, so huge. Jeremiah 24:7, I will give them a heart to know me, it says. I love that, right? Understanding fully that I am the Lord and they will be my people and I will be their God, for they will return to me with their whole heart. I will give them a heart to know me. Know God loves us, and then begin draw close to him, guys. Right? Begin to draw close to him. Jeremiah 31:3. Long ago the Lord said to Israel, I have loved you, my people, with an everlasting love. With unfailing love I have drawn you to myself. John 15:16. You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you, and I have appointed and placed and purposely planted you, so that you would go and bear fruit and keep on bearing. So wait, God loves me right where I'm at. I'm in the spot I need to be for a reason. Man, Pastor Steve, you don't know, but my circumstances, they stink right now. This is a tough spot in my life. Well, you're still significant to him. And God still loves you. And he can still transform your life right where you're at right now with the same job, the same relationship issues, the same struggles, the same pain. All that's important to remember, right? Why don't people want to get close to God? Okay, number one, many times they have wrong views. That's a big part of it. A lot of times people just have wrong views and beliefs about God. Not only about God, but Jesus and the Holy Spirit as well, right? Okay, they just have wrong views and beliefs. Now, that could be for different reasons. We're going to talk about that a little bit. But it could have been the way they were taught. They could have went through a really bad situation. Maybe you went to another church and you had a really bad experience. And I hope you didn't. But if you did, I hate that, you know. And I pray that this would be a great experience for you here at Timber Creek. But a lot of times we just have wrong views, wrong beliefs about God. And there's many reasons for that. Number two, these wrong views and beliefs form obstacles. They form hurdles between you and God, or them and God. I just imagine this morning that I've got some hurdles, like you see on a track at a school or a college or a track event. Anybody ran hurdles before? She's amazing. I'm not very good at it. I think it's because I'm short. It's like a gazelle. Yeah. Everybody met Shelly. I just love Shelly. She just makes this experience so fun for me every time I teach. I love her. I mean that genuinely. I really do. But just imagine we've got some hurdles up here, right? Right? And sometimes experiences, wrong views, what we've been taught, what we, you know, maybe the bad situations we've been through, right? Sometimes our relationship with our earthly father heavily affects the relationship with a heavenly father. Did I say that right? An earthly father to our heavenly father relationship. Just imagine these hurdles up here, and they form because of that, and it makes it difficult for us to truly know God and have the type of relationship with him that he wants us to have and that we truly want to have. Number three, God wants us to address and remove these obstacles so a relationship can be restored. Right? He doesn't want these hurdles, these obstacles to be between him and us, right? So how do we do this? How do we remove these obstacles? Number one, you got to acknowledge the obstacle, okay? You got to acknowledge that hurdle's there, right? You know, if you're angry at God for something, that can be an obstacle. God's a big boy. He can handle it. Acknowledge it. Begin to talk to him about that. I've always said, pray honest prayers. Pray to God when you're happy, when things are great, but pray to him too. He can handle me having a bad day. He can handle, I don't understand this right now, God. Help me understand this. This hurts. This is painful, right? Does it mean I get the answer right away? No. There's been times I haven't. There's things I'm still praying for, decades that I've been praying for that hasn't been necessarily answered or changed, but I haven't given up on him, and he can handle my honesty, right? He can handle that not the obstacle, but he can handle my emotions with that, okay? So acknowledge the obstacle. Number two, replace lies with the truth. Sometimes, guys, we've just been taught or we've accepted certain lies. The enemy, which is Satan, he does not want you to know God. He does not want you to have a relationship with God. And he's going to feed you all kinds of lies that can form major obstacles and hurdles between you and him. A.W. Tozer said this, "What comes into our minds when we think about God is the most important thing about us." It's a powerful statement there when it comes to replacing the lies. Well, what we're going to do right now is, because I would imagine a room this size, is that we may have some different thoughts, obstacles in our own life, probably. So what I want you to do is, with your table host at the table, we're going to take about 5 minutes, and what you're going to do is you're just going to talk as a table and just list out what are some views or beliefs that have been obstacles to you knowing God, maybe what you've known about Jesus, and then about the Holy Spirit. Makes sense? All three of those, but it's the same question for all three. What are some obstacles in your life, some beliefs, some views that you through the years have believed or thought of that have been keeping you or been an obstacle for you or other people, okay? And then what we're going to do is we're going to list them on the board and we're going to talk about a few truths that counteract that. Does that make sense? Okay? All right, so why don't y'all take a few minutes at your table and come up with a few of those. This has the potential. We could just name one obstacle and we could stay there for the next hour, okay? So just know, what's that? I thought Liz was talking to me for a minute. I was like, okay, sorry. But what we're gonna do is we're gonna kind of list a few of them. Let me say this again, I just love being part of a church that is so intentional. Can everybody see over there a little bit? I know it's a big room, which is exciting. I love being a part of a church that's so intentional about people growing, about people moving. Some of the things we're going to sort of talk about today, okay? Grow Track. Everybody say Grow Track. Okay, Grow Track just kicked off on Wednesday night. If you're new to Timber Creek or you've been coming for a while, this starting point kind of dips your toe in the water a little bit. Grow Track 1, 2, and 3, you start in 1 this semester. It goes in more depth about some of the things we're talking about, and it's going to teach you a lot more about breaking this down. Does that make sense? And so I would highly encourage you guys that get into Grow Track. We can help you with that today after this class. You can go to the foyer. We can help you get set up. It's Wednesday night, 7 o'clock in the chapel, which is straight down this hallway, is Grow Track 1. 105 people, I think, showed up Wednesday night to kick it off. And so it's okay. Hey, you missed the first week, but they have it recorded. You'll get a booklet just like you got today. Don't miss Grow Track. What are some of, and I'm just going to ask that the table host help me out here, just throw out some of the things. We don't have time to go to every table, but table host, what are some misconceptions, obstacles that people have thought about God? We're going to list a couple.
He is a joy killer.
Joy killer. All right. All right. All right. Okay, what else? Mad at us? Okay, maybe one more. Why does he let bad things happen? What about Jesus? What are some obstacles, misconceptions about Jesus? Just a good teacher. Okay, one more about Jesus. Everybody understands Jesus. Okay, good. Anybody? Okay, what about the Holy Spirit?
Not real.
Not real. Okay. What else? What did you say?
Spooky.
That one always comes up, doesn't it?
Never thought much about him.
Never thought much about him.
Don't understand.
Man, these are good. Well, just to kind of walk through some of these things, and what we've done today too, this is the first time we've ever done this, is we provided you a sheet on your table. I want this to just be a resource to you. You don't have to go reading through the whole thing right now, but we try to go with some scriptures. Yeah, if you have it, table hosts, go ahead and pass those out if you haven't already. But there's a section for who is God, one for who is Jesus, one is for the Holy Spirit. Yes, ma'am. Yes, that's a great question. Yeah, we believe that the Bible talks about the Holy Trinity in the sense that God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit is the Holy Trinity, that they're all separate and yet all the same. They're all God. And I know that's one that we could spend 2 hours on, but GrowTrack addresses that, I think, GrowTrack 1, even in the next week or two. So I would highly encourage you to jump in there, and each of them have distinct things about them, and yet they're all God. They're the same. God the Father, Jesus Christ is the Son. He is both. When he came to earth, he was born, came to the earth as fully man and fully God. Okay? There's a teaching right there. And then the Holy Spirit, right? Who is our comforter. As Jesus died on the cross and 3 days later rose again, and then later ascended to heaven, you read that he said, I am sending one after me. God is sending one after me who would be there, because Jesus was leaving. He was going back to heaven, ascending, and everybody was thinking, what's going to happen? Well, God gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit to be present in our lives as a comforter, as a helper, right, in time of need, right? He's not spooky. He's our counselor. He's our helper, right? He's there for us when we don't understand, to give us that comfort. At the moment of salvation, the moment you say yes to Jesus, to God, the Holy Spirit is active in your life, okay? And another thing, another teaching that you'll learn in GrowTrack is the separation of the Holy Spirit active in our life at salvation and then the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in another tongue, those things, okay? That'd be another hour or two right there, okay? But just to talk a little bit, God is a joy killer. I think a lot of people, he is our heavenly Father, right? He lovingly disciplines us. Pastor Jeremy did an incredible job last week. Go back and listen to it if you weren't here. But he talked about this idea that when we don't know God, we don't know God. We don't know any different. We don't know the Bible. But when we come to know God, the Bible, it's a question of, does the Bible become the final authority in my life? That's a question I think all of us have to ask. I ask my kids that all the time. Like, I have a 13-year-old daughter, and I bring that up quite a bit. Like, you have to make a decision, Natalie. Is the Word of God going to be the final authority in my life? And if it is, then I'm going to walk in this lane, even if everybody else is going this way, and everybody else may think that it's a joy killer. I'm really going to live a life that, though it's tough right now, I know that it's going to bring about promise and blessing for my life. Does it make me perfect? Does that make sense? That we believe that he's mad at us. He's not this great judge over us. He loves us as his children. He doesn't force himself upon us, right? It's our choice to say yes to him or not, right? Does he want us to live for him? Absolutely, right? He's not mad at us. Isn't there? It is hard. Amen, right? To when you don't see the person, you don't physically touch him, you don't literally vocally hear his voice, but his presence through the Holy Spirit. He speaks to us through his word, right? He speaks to us through a message, through a teaching in many different ways. Going on to Jesus, and sorry for flying through this, but that he was more than just a good teacher. Was he a good teacher? Yeah, he was. He was like incredible. But he was such a great teacher too, because he was the Son of God. He was fully God and fully man, and he spoke in a way and communicated in a way that was different than anyone before him had ever done, and was an incredible teacher, and God was divine, used him to do that. Does he care? Absolutely, he cares for us. Anyone that would crawl up on a cross and die for all of us and take my place when I'm the one who should have been on the cross and hung and died, I'm the sinner, and he lived a sinless, perfect life and yet went through all that for me, I would say he cares for me. And again, we talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit. Never thought of him. I mean, I just think a lot of people don't understand, you know, again, don't understand. And again, Grow Track will help you understand that. But just know that the Holy Spirit is active in our life at salvation. Does that mean we're going to, the whole baptism of the Holy Spirit, speak in another tongue? No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, and that's something for us, absolutely, that we touch on in Grow Track that God wants for us. But really, the Holy Spirit is active in our life at salvation to convict us, to comfort us, to be a helper to us as we're trying to pray about certain things and walk through certain situations, because life is still life and life is still hard, right? And the Holy Spirit's a little bit of that sandpaper that I need in my life to you know, round out those rough edges in my life. And so those are some things that we just wanted to share with you guys. Good job on that. But again, this doesn't do it justice. There's so many things we could say about each and every one of these, but it's just a great exercise. But back to your notes real quick. Number three on how to remove the obstacles is you got to spend time with God. You've got to spend time with God. Back to that, I don't want to just know about him. I want to know him. And the only way I'm going to know him, the only way I'm going to know my wife better, know my kids better, is I've got to spend time with them. I got to be present, right? And so you've got to find time to get to know him through the Word of God, through prayer, through coming to Timber Creek and hearing a message on Sunday mornings, or getting in a group and getting in community with other people to learn about him. There's all these different things, right? I love this quote by G.I. Packer. He said this. Or let me back up. Knowing God, I think this is in your notes, knowing God comes as a direct result of time spent with him, right? Okay? And G.I. Packer says this, what were we made for? To know God. What aim should I have in my life? To know God. It's not to make a bunch of money and make a life. That's important. But the number one aim should be to know God, right? What is the eternal life that Jesus gives? To know God. What is the best thing in life? To know God. What in humans gives God most pleasure? Knowledge of himself, right? I love that quote. We've got to spend time with him. There's this idea that we grow. The more time I spent dating my wife, the more I wanted to spend more time with her. I fell in love with her, and I wanted to spend the rest of my life with her. It's not much different with our relationship with God. As we spend more time with him, we begin to see what he has for us, and we begin to read the Word of God and have people in our life that encourage us. And as we walk through challenges and see how God is faithful to help us through it, man, it just makes us grow in a more deeper and intimate relationship with him, right? There's this idea in John chapter 15 that it talks about abiding. We talk about it in Grow Track 3, where we really push our Grow Track 3 students with this. But there's this idea of spending extravagant time with Jesus, right? That you just can't get enough. And it's the idea of the vine and the branches, right? The branch has life because it's attached to the vine. And it's the same with us, that we've got to be attached to Jesus. How do we spend time with God? In your notes here. Number one, set a time. Is it morning? Is it evening? What works best for you? If I spend time with God in the evening, I just lay before the Lord. And I will lay before the Lord till the alarm clock goes off the next morning. I can't do it. I get tired. My poor wife, she just has to wake me up every night, you know, on the couch, and it's time for bed, you know. And so, is that what happens when you hit 40? I guess. But I have to get up. I get up really early, and my time is in the morning. I get up early before my kids get up, and even before my wife gets up, she gets up with me sometimes too. And I just spend time reading the Bible, reading a book that corresponds with what I'm reading in the Bible, or just a great book that challenges me spiritually, and I spend time praying, and I have a prayer list, right? And I do that most every morning, and that's my time, right? But you might be different. You might have a different schedule that night works better for you. I don't know. Number two is you pick a place. My place is my family room early in the morning, like I said, at my house. That's just where I go. Me and Duke, my dog. I wake him up, take him out, and then he sits in there with me while I pray. And so I just spend time with the Lord right there in my family room. For you, it might be outside on the back porch. It might be in another room of the house, your bedroom, wherever it is. Pick a place. And number three, show up consistently. Show up consistently. It is not always about the quantity of time, how long you're spending with God, as much as it is about the quality of time. How many of you have kids? Whew, amen, right? I got three kids, and man, sometimes that time with God is just 5 to 10 minutes because the morning went crazy. It went sideways with my kids, right? I got a little six-year-old, and she decided to wake up at the same time I did, and she just is not going to let Dad just sit there and read, right? And so there's just days, and God knows that. And God knows my crazy schedule, but he also knows my heart, that there's some days where, man, it's just in the car from dropping the kids off at school back here to the church that I'm going to stop and just spend some time with them. It's about the quality of that time, okay? But show up consistently. And here's a couple things. During your time with God, as you're reading the Word of God, praying, you can worship him in song. Find some songs that you can enjoy singing to God. If we can help you with that, we sing some pretty incredible ones here at the church. And however we can help you with that, we want to help you. The second thing is talk to him in prayer. Some of you may be sitting here and like, man, this is new to me. I've never prayed. What if I say the wrong thing? Aren't you supposed to do this or do that? No, it's absolutely just like any other conversation that you would have with anyone else. And you got to stretch that muscle. Right? Just like if you're working out, you got to stretch that muscle a little bit. It hurts at first, or it's a little uncomfortable at first, but the more you do it, you begin to build that muscle. The prayer is the same way. And we've put in the back of your book, in your appendix, a prayer models that we want to give you just to help you get started with that. And again, GrowTrack is going to help you with that. Finally, hear from him and learn about who he is through reading and applying the Word of God. Okay, and you're like, pick a translation. Again, in your appendix, there's just different translations of the Bible. It's all still the Word of God, but it's been translated different times in different ways. There's some that are more word for word, closer to the original text from thousands of years ago, all the way to things that are paraphrased. Does that make sense? And so you got to pick one. I'm partial to the NIV, the New International Version, or the New Living. Now, my professor in Bible college said, man, that's the trucker's version. You shouldn't read that. It's King James only. And that's right. Ms. Jolene said amen. This lady right here, she knows the Word of God, and she'll quote it in King James. I love it. But you got to find the translation that works best for you. If you don't have a Bible, we have them. We want to put one in your hands today. Okay, here in Starting Point or out in the foyer, okay? So let us know. It's a great one there. I've gone too long. I'm about to get in trouble. But I want to close up. Can everybody do me a favor? We've talked a lot about this morning. Go ahead and put your pens down. And would you be brave enough to just close your eyes for a minute? I'm going to pray over you here in a minute. But I just want to remind you of something. What we're talking about today is absolutely huge. It's about knowing God. And to know God and say yes to God, yes to Jesus, is the greatest decision that any one of us could ever make. And there is, with a decision to follow God, to say yes to God, there's an element of faith and trust. And I know that's hard sometimes for us. Did you know that faith is not really a religious concept? We tie it to that. It's actually just a human concept. When I wake up in the morning and I put my feet down to get out of the bed, I have faith that the floor's there. You know? It's a human concept. In fact, Ernest Hemingway said the best way to find out if you can trust somebody is to what? Is to trust them. And it's the same with God. Knowing God is a lifelong process. Okay? It doesn't just happen in a moment and you know everything. Don't stop seeking God. Don't stop asking questions, guys. And as you close your eyes for a minute, let me read this quote, and then I want to read something else to you. A religion that is small enough for our understanding would not be big enough for our needs. Corey Ten Boom said that. He is a big God. In fact, he's so indescribable that he describes himself in the Word of God as just, I am. Like, think about that. Go ahead and come up with words to describe God, but at the end of the day, I am. That's how big he is. And that same big God loves you this morning with your eyes closed at this table. And I just want to throw a couple statements and questions out there. And maybe they resonate with you this morning. If you're here and you need help, God is saying, I am. If you need hope this morning, God says, I am. I need a fresh start. I am. My need is bigger than my resources, Pastor Stephen. You don't understand. I am. I need a fresh start. I am. Who can I trust? Everybody I've known has hurt me. Who can I trust? God says, I am. You're here this morning, you feel so alone. God says, I am. My marriage is sinking and I don't know where to turn. God says, I am. I can't hold on. I am. My kids deserve more. I am. Maybe you're here this morning and you're saying, I'm tired or I quit. And God says, I am. You may be here and being transparent and say, I need a drink. I need a fix. And God says, I am. You might be here, just barely made it here this morning, and you're saying, somebody just hold me. And God answers that and says, I am. With every eye closed and every head bowed this morning, I want to pray for you. But before I pray, we can't talk about knowing God. We can't say all this morning and me not ask the question, do you know God? Have you had that moment where you said, you know what? I'm going to trust God with my life. I'm going to put my life into his hands. I've tried to do it all these years on my own. And sometimes it's worked out, but a lot of times it hasn't. And today, I want to begin a relationship with Jesus Christ, with God. If that's you this morning and you've never done that, and you'd be brave enough, would you raise your hand? So as we pray this morning, awesome. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Awesome. We can go ahead and put them down. And what I'm going to do, I'm just going to pray a simple prayer, and I want the whole classroom to repeat after me, okay? Does that sound good? Dear God, we understand that you love us. Thank you for showing us today how much you love us and want to have a relationship with us. I've tried life on my own, and I'm ready to give you my heart. Forgive me of my sins and lead my life. Amen. 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 Everybody look up here. It's as simple as and as powerful and as exciting as that. Everybody give these guys a hand that we prayed with this morning. It's the greatest decision that you could ever make in your life. And guys, we love you. We're so excited for you. And so glad that you started this journey of Starting Point. Please let your table host know if you prayed that prayer this morning, if that's okay. Why? Because we love you, and we want to help you walk this journey even more. I'm going to hand it over to Miss Bonnie. And guys, thanks for letting me hang out with you this morning.
Thank you, Pastor.